biggest challenge ever. Angus Taylor is the federal Liberal member for Hume, and he is the energy minister. And this is an inspired choice by Scott Morrison, but he's got the cart in front of him. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Can I just urge you to note the comments, the overwhelming comments by listeners following the interview with the Prime Minister yesterday, and just take one. If he wants to keep Bill out of the top job, he'll drop Paris. Or why in the hell doesn't he come straight out and say he's pulling out of Paris and stopping subsidies? Now, I know this is a difficult question to answer. The punter is saying abandon the Paris climate change targets about emission reductions. Will you do that?
Well, I'll tell you what, Alan, I will allow nothing to get between me and bringing down prices. No distractions, absolutely nothing. We're going to have exactly the same focus on getting down electricity prices that Scott Morrison himself had in 2013 when we got into government in stopping the boats. That means we will ensure that we, whatever we have to do, whatever levers we have to pull, whatever initiatives we have to put in place to get prices down, we'll go after them. That's my job. Scott has made that job, as you heard yesterday. Completely unambiguous.
What I heard yesterday was his inability to answer that question, but I'll put it another way to you, Angus. I wouldn't give you 5 cents. You can't comment on this, but I'm saying to my listeners, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the South Australian Senator Birmingham. Being a South Australian, an energy policy is enough for me. Look at the energy mess there. But he made a complete hash of the education sector. Look at the alienation of the Catholic sector. Now he's opened his mouth. It's not his portfolio. Wrecked our education system, telling us that the Morrison government will honour the Paris Agreement, and that the government's position on climate change won't change. How does Australia achieve its Paris climate change targets without compelling the transport and agriculture sectors to commit to emissions reductions?
Well, as you know, Alan, my focus is on the electricity sector, and I'm very confident we won't allow distractions to get between us and getting prices down. Look, that has to be the focus. The Australian people have said that. Your listeners are telling you
but
that.
But he says they'll honour Paris.
Well, you know, the truth is, in the electricity sector, we're going to get there in a canter, Alan, no matter what we do. So I don't need to be distracted by all that other stuff.
But if Paris does, it's not going to... But Angus, if Paris is not going to interfere with electricity prices, then we just say, well, get rid of Paris. It's not going to...
That's a matter... You know, I'm not going to preempt the discussions that happen in private with
but it's Paris costing you out there. It's a simple thing. This is the political challenge you face. Conquer this, and this election is winnable for you.
I understand your point, but I've got a practical challenge in front of me, not a political one. My practical challenge is to get electricity prices down, and I can tell you nothing is going to get in my way. Frankly, the biggest issue in my way right now in getting electricity prices down is making sure the big energy companies stop the big rip-offs. I mean, we saw when Hazelwood went out of the market, we saw bids from generators whose costs hadn't gone up, not a dollar, double or more what they were asking for in the electricity market, and we all paid for it. Now, we've got to stop those rip-offs, and we've got to make sure we back new investment and competition into the market.
Now, hang on, stop, Angus, power. Sorry, Angus, I mean, I'm not flattering you here, I mean, this bloke's a very smart man, but hang on, just supposing you're the businessman and you want to invest in coal-fired power, are you seriously telling me you would invest in coal-fired power when one of your competitors, Renewable Energy, is getting $3.6 billion in subsidies this year?
Well, as you know, Alan, those subsidies will phase out in the next few years.
Well, hang on, that's the next few years, so no one's going to put them. No one's going to put their money up.
Well, as you know, I have had a strong view about those subsidies for many years.
I know.
The good news is they come to an end. That the increases in targets come to an end in about a year's time, and we will not get in the way of those subsidies disappearing. Now they need to. Most importantly, though, we've got to stop this process whereby we're losing our base load, our reliable power, to intermittent power. And the result of that, we saw it with Hazelwood, and it was very clear. When Hazelwood shut, the big energy companies pushed up their prices. Their costs hadn't changed. They pushed up their prices to more than double. We've got to make sure that supply stays in the market and we get new supply coming into the market. Now, we've said we'd do two things that have never been committed to by a government before. The first is we would back... We would underwrite new reliable, low-cost generation if we need to get that supply.
Okay, stop there. Just clarify that. Can you clarify that? Woo. That's a high efficiency, low emission, high efficiency, low emission coal-fired power station.
Well, that's a good candidate.
Right. $2.2 billion. Would you be recommending to the government $2.2 billion, which is less than the renewable subsidies of $3.6 billion, $2.2 billion to get thing off the ground, because it's 5 to midnight, Angus.
Yeah, I completely understand that, Alan, and I've come in at 5 to midnight. I wish I'd come in a little earlier, but I've come in at 5 to midnight. And we will underwrite reliable power that's going to keep the lights on and bring down prices.
Okay.
We've been very clear about that.
Right, so you're going to underwrite reliable power. So are you going to order AGL to divest themselves of the Liddell Power Station so it will be kept open?
So you've come to my second point. This is something we said about a week ago that we would do that has not been done before. If we need to, we'll establish divestment powers. We will say to the big energy companies, if you're not prepared to keep that reliable power, that fair dinkum power, as the Prime Minister likes to call it, in the system, then we'll force you to divest it. Now, not something any of us want to have to do, but at the end of the day, what we've seen, and we saw this with Hazelwood, is unacceptable behaviour by these companies, and we're going to take it on, Alan. We're going to take it head on. You know, I've worked in this sector, so I know it well. I understand the behaviour that is going on. It isn't acceptable. We are going to challenge it. I'm hopeful that the companies will now do the right thing, because we're going to put the heat on them.
Right. Well, now,
if they don't, relax.
We don't need 10 pages of policy, do we? Isn't it true to say that all we need is to have what we had pre-Rudd and the renewable energy target, and I argued against this from day one, and with respect, so did you. We just need available, reliable, and affordable. Wind isn't, solar isn't, batteries aren't, coal is. Now, are we going to get out of the marketplace and say, now here we go, we're going to go back to where we were good and we had the cheapest electricity in the world?
Well, you know and I know that coal has an extremely important role to play in this market. Holding the coal in and, depending on the circumstances and what's available, getting new coal in. Those things are things we have to do if we are to keep that reliable, affordable power that you just talked about.
Well,
there's no question.
It's illegal to operate a nuclear reactor in Australia. For God's sake, we've got 40% of the world's uranium reserves. Shouldn't we have nuclear energy?
Well, look, Alan, I understand your point about that. It's not going to help me in the next year or two because, as you know, it takes time to build these things. But
Well, it takes time to build a coal-fired power station too.
Well, that's true, but we can get one of those up, or more importantly, hold them in much more quickly and have an impact in the shorter term.
So, see, 1,600 coal-fired power plants being planned or under construction in 62 countries around the world. We are providing the coal so that those countries can have cheap electricity and our people can't. What do you say to these poor people out here who in every state across Australia have had their electricity cut off because they can't afford the bill? What do you say to them?
Well, I would say that you will see us backing investment in reliable baseload power in a way that hasn't happened in that time period. As you described, over the last 10 years or so, there's been too much intermittent power come into the system. We've lost a lot of our reliable baseload power. That has to be addressed.
Well, that can only be addressed. I mean, you're talking intermittent. Solar's intermittent. Wind's intermittent. Yep. Batteries are intermittent. I mean, basically, and why are we going to then subsidise these people this year? $3.6 billion. Why?
Well, look, the real issue we've got...
I'll tell you what, you're busy, I'm sure. I hope... Would you have another 5 minutes after 20 to 8?
Yeah,
Okay, I'll come back to you. I'll go to the news because there's a couple of other things we must ask you while you're here. Very grateful. I'll talk to you after the news, which is next.